Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and if you think about Ecclesiastes, and I go there a lot, and over the years I have and studied that, and I don't know, I guess all the, I don't want to use the word fascinates me, but a man so wise as Solomon, I guess it kind of always intrigued me. I went to Ecclesiastes probably as much as any book I ever have in the Bible. And a lot of that, and in studying out, he talks about vanity under the sun, and things that we do here on this earth, it's vanity, except, here at the very end, when he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. And that's how he ends Ecclesiastes. And I think as you read through Ecclesiastes, that's what Solomon learned during his life. And I've said that before. God judges the wicked and the righteous, as you'll go see. We talk about all pleasures are vain. Anything that you collect or do in this life, you'll leave behind. See my comment made in there, and I think it's over in chapter 1, says that, I guess I'm paraphrasing, but what if you leave some things behind and you leave your barns full of, wheat, let's see, so to speak, and you leave it to another fella and he's foolish. And you spend all your time and effort with that and not serving God, and you leave everything to a foolish individual. Well, then it's all wasted anyway. And so as you look, but he also noticed, Ecclesiastes, he talks about time is everything, because you don't get any more time. And he reflects back and says, serve God while you're young, before you begin to get old and can't get around as well and arthritis sets in on us. He says, you need to serve him when you're young. Serve him when you're old as well. But what you're saying, that's when you've really got the energy to get out and get out for the things of God. And I think in today's world, we stay so busy, and that goes back to that time, we look more at, let me get this, that, and the other, those vanities that he talks about. And then as we get older, we tend to want to settle in more and look back on our lives. Well, chapter 5, what it does, as you look at it, that's one of the few areas in the Scripture, as you study out, Ecclesiastes, and I made me an outline here if I can find it, and I may not need it, but it's one of the few areas in Ecclesiastes where vanity is. Even though things are under the sun, and we think about things being vanity, is what Solomon refers to most everything that we do, with the exception of serving God. In chapter 5, he brings into worship into the play, I guess, in our lives. So as we talked about the oppressions from other men, we talk about our jobs again, we talk about the righteous, the judgment, and the wicked, and we talk about our lives, and we grow older and younger, and serving God and time and what that really means. In chapter 5, he talks about serving God and when we come into the house of God and we come into worship. And even though most Ecclesiastes is talking about under the sun or things we do in this world outside of God are in vain, chapter 5, he says, yeah, but when we do go worship God, and again, this is the Old Testament, we're going to try to apply it to us today, which I will try to, if Lord willing, needs to be in reverence or respect when you come to worship in the house of God. And you respect the messenger of God, the preacher. Here it uses the word angel, but that's down, I think, around verse number 5 or 6. But if you looked it up in the Hebrew and in the Greek, that word there stands for messenger more than what we think of just angel as we think about. Well, I guess that's always the case, though, would be a messenger. So you could think about it as being a preacher. So as you stay right there where you're at, let me read over in the New Testament kind of what this refers to, and then we'll get back and look at 6 or 7 verses, and we'll be finished today, Lord willing. James has a lot to say about this, and you know exactly where I'm going to read from. You've heard it before, hearing and doing the word. And that's really what Solomon talks about as well. So wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with the meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. See, already that's what's been talking about this morning already. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And we'll see what Solomon's talking about in chapter 5 is going to be, listen, hear the word. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, or whoever looks into the law of grace, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, this is going to be an important, as we get into chapter 5 in Ecclesiastes, so many years before Solomon said, in similar way as you'll see, and here's what I was going to get to, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So keep that in mind from James, and let's see what Solomon had to say back in chapter 5 over in Ecclesiastes as we go through here and look. And think about reverent worship, respecting the house of God, respecting the messenger of God. And I say messenger because here it's going to use the word angel, but it'd be the preacher or the pastor, we would think, and talking about applying it to our churches today. But in all of Solomon's wisdom, and again, I like reading because you think we're told, and I believe, if someone were to ask me, they wouldn't even have to give me a multiple choice exam, who do you think the wisest man to ever live was, even if it was, you know, fill in the blank, I would say Solomon, because that's what the Bible teaches, and I believe that. And so here's from the wisest man, according to God, which I can't get another higher authority, ever lived, his thoughts on how we should come into a house of God or a house of worship. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel, and here that's where I brought in that messenger, that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities. In other words, we fight against things of this world already, things of Satan. So for in the multitude of dreams and many words there are divers vanities. In other words, things that should be left unspoken, or maybe we speak out of turn, or we speak because we're of the world, or maybe we're in the world, or maybe it's even as we're saved, sometimes we may get off track a little. But fear thou God. So he finishes that. And we'll stop there. And verse number 7, and we'll see what the Lord has for us. And as I always say, I don't plan to be too long this morning. We may not be. May be a short day. We'll see what the Lord has for us as we look through this. But caution against hasty vows. And as I made a few notes here in the outline and looked, and verse number 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. In other words, walk. I don't know, maybe I need to move back a little bit. Walk prudently. And I thought, well, walk prudently. And that word came to me, prudent. I said, what does that mean? As that's what came to me as I looked at that, and I said, to be prudent means to be care and thought for the future. And I thought, well, as you read through Ecclesiastes, and that's why I wanted to mention Ecclesiastes and talk about it just for briefly as we did at the beginning, almost everything he discusses is in serving God. And we see how Solomon concludes the chapter. fear God and keep His commandments. Talking about that's the whole duty of man. But still, under Solomon's premise that all that we do in our flesh is vanity, but it, with the exception of him, when he's, there's a few exceptions, and one of those is when we go down into the house of God. In other words, we need to go with the wisdom to honor God. And even if it's just for this life alone, is what he's saying. When we come into the house of God, we need to come prudently, or we need to come with care and thought for not only ourselves, but for others, and also for the future. So when he looks at the future, not only of the, and in here, this is Old Testament, I know, but you can apply that, I think, to today, the future of the church, the direction of where the church is going. So he says, keep thy foot. In other words, you know, it's supposed to, I know on the way over here, driving the van, the temperature began to drop, you know. And when I got in the van, I think it said it was 31 degrees, and closer I got to church, it went to 29, then down to 28, and I knew the temperature was supposed to drop today. So that made me think, you know, when I get out, if there's any water on the ground anywhere, if the temperature begins to plummet throughout the day, you'll have to keep thy foot. You'll have to watch your step. May get slick. May get icy. You'll have to watch where you're going. And that's what that means here too, but that's even when we come into the church. He said, be careful you don't slip, but you keep your mind, as we get into in just a second, which I'm as guilty of as anyone. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody when we get to this in just a second. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. And as you look here, and I said, sacrifice of fools. In other words, to hear means to pay attention and obey. If you go look at the Hebrew word of that, and it means to hear, man, that's what exactly what it means. It means to obey. You hear instruction, and that's what you obey. And as I think about over in, over in 1 Samuel. Was it 1 Samuel? Let me think here. Let me look here real quick. When we talk about, I think it was, that came to my mind this morning. I meant to run this reference down, and I didn't. Oh, yes. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. In other words, there was compromise. But up from that, it says a couple of verses, and that's in 1 Samuel chapter 15, I believe, if that's where I wanted to go to. I'm making sure. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt, in burnt offerings and sacrifices. Oh, yeah, let me back up a verse. That's exactly it. Here we go. But the people took of the spoil. You remember this is when they had the battle, and they took of the spoil, and of course, it was Saul that he blames the people for that. Samuel told them not to. We won't get into all that, but this goes back to the verse here where it says, be more ready to hear. And of course, we talked about in the Hebrew, that means to obey and to give sacrifice to fools. In other words, don't let our feet slip as we come into the house of God. Keep our mind on, and that's already been said this morning. Brother Thurman's already said, let's be ready. I think he said Sister Jennifer's already mentioned about when you're standing before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that light's going to be on what we've done, or it's going to be, or I guess our life, worship's going to be to Him. Nothing else is going to matter. And that goes right back to what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes overall. What we really do here in our life, no matter how full we fill our barns or how many cars we have or money in the bank or whatever we do, it all goes back to obeying God. And so over in 1 Samuel, and that's what I run a reference this morning, and I meant to mark that and get right to it. So think about that here. Samuel gives instruction. Saul knows what's supposed to be going on, but yet they win the battle. Let's see what happens. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. In other words, their foot slipped. They let it slip. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, this is a question, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I got two verses ahead there when I read that for you before. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So that's what happened to Saul. And that's what, over here, as we see, Solomon warns us of. He said, go into the house of God and be more ready to hear, to listen. You know, that's what James said as well. Listen and obey. Look in the mirror. See the reflection of who you are based upon God's grace. And but the man that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and forgetteth who he is. You think about that. Go over and read that in James again as we read. And he said to hear, said then to give sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. And as we look, you don't think about that being wrong, I guess. You think more of yourself than you do of the things of God. Verse number 2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. And as I made a few notes here, as we come in, and I made a little Roman numeral and just a little note, I put our minds are full of business. I couldn't think of another way to write that when I came in, when I wrote that down and I jotted that down, and I thought as we come into church, our minds are full of business. And my mother used to say business, and what she meant by that is not a business you're working on, not like a business you may own, but we're busy in our mind. What have I got to do today? What have I got to do this afternoon? Where am I going this week? What else have to do this afternoon? What am I going to do Wednesday? What's going on Thursday? Now, let's see now. April. What are we going to do in April? Should be warm weather by then. In other words, our minds are busy. They're on other business outside of things of God. And I think that says we get into that, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. And as we look, says minds are full of business, and I made another little Roman numeral, and I thought about how, you know, when the priest of Baal, they began to pray, they had very, very long prayers. But they were praying to gods that didn't exist, or gods with a little G. You remember when Elijah prayed, his was short and sweet and to the point. But he was connected. You know, as preacher, and I still go back to that message where he talked about you got to be connected vertically before you can be connected horizontally. Plugged in, so to speak. And I think that's what Solomon's saying here. We got to be cautious, not be rash with our mouth, rash with our words when we come in. In other words, our business should be on the things of God. Now, that doesn't mean, I don't think it doesn't mean that we can't fellowship and ask about one another and how's your family and how's things going. But you remember Pastor Jack used to say, the war is in our minds. And I think that's the truth when we come into church on Sunday school, when we come into church and preacher's preaching. Our battle's in our minds. You remember the young man I told you about today? And it's been years ago. If I were to tell you, he's not a young man anymore. Going out through the parking lot one day, he asked me. And of course, I was lost then. But I knew that he thought the same things I did. He said, do you ever, sometimes, he said, about 5 to 12, can't get your mind off where you want to eat lunch at? He said, I feel so bad about that. He said, I don't have a problem during the week when I'm at work. But he said, on Sundays, it comes to my mind. Am I going to Cheddar's? Am I going to go to, I'm trying to think of different places, that way don't just name one. But anyway, the steakhouse, am I going to get fast food? What am I going to do? His mind was busy. And that's what Solomon's warning against. Better be careful of that. Better be ready to hear, to listen. Because you think about, now, go back to time. Oh, that's right here somewhere. Oh, time for everything, as we'd already mentioned in chapter 3, and we won't read those. But you go back to time, we only spend a short period of time in here in worship, as far as together. Should worship during the week and study and pray. We know that. But we should be ready when we come in. And not have a busy mind, not be busy-bodied, especially getting into somebody else's business. But as I jotted these down, I thought, well, that's how the priests of Baal, that's how they were. They got into Elijah's business, so to speak. Elijah served a true God, and they didn't. And we know what happened there. Elijah beheaded all of them. And I made a note here, and I'd heard one time by an old preacher had said, as far as verse number 2, so be not rash with thy mouth, he'd said, I don't remember who it was years ago, and he was saying this in fun, but think about it. He said, as I begin to pray, the first 3 minutes, everybody prays with me. He said the second 3 minutes during that prayer, he said it's about a 9 minute prayer. He said the second 3 minutes is everybody prays for me. And he said the last 3 minutes everybody's praying against me. When's he going to finish? Let's wrap it up. Let's get out of here. And I know that's not true, but what he was trying to say is an example that's about as far as our minds or as we keep our hearts on the business of God. We need to be more in tune, more in focus. And what really hit me here studying in Ecclesiastes, you have to think about it, is again, Solomon talks about vanities of vanities and talks about what we obtain under the sun. And it's for our enjoyment and to keep, but once you die, it's lost, it's gone. You don't take it with you, you leave it. But he takes the time out here in chapter 5 to say, but when you go into the house of God, even in these bodies, even this flesh, even before you die, even during that time, you better take time to worship and to listen and to walk prudently and to pay attention and obey God. You know, we've said many, many times, especially I've heard a lot of you in here say, and I remember that growing up too, people used to walk by the church and sometimes they wouldn't even talk hardly, had reverence for the things of God. You wouldn't have them turn around in the parking lot of a church. You wouldn't have them parking out back doing things they shouldn't be doing just because they's at the, oh no, they'd go anywhere besides around the church. You know, my dad drove an 18-wheeler for years, and of course that's all he ever did. And I remember there was a parking lot behind the church, and it was up in a field. Well, sometimes he'd be on his way home, and he could stop there and park and maybe spend the night and then drop the truck off the next day because it was another 36 miles and 36 miles back. Well, I remember he'd call the pastor or the preacher, and he'd say, do you mind if I park up behind there? And he said, well, I don't mind. He said, we really don't own that anyway. So that's city property. He said, yeah, but I don't want it to look bad on the church. I don't want anybody to walk by, and there's an 18-wheeler parked behind the church. So he'd park as far away from it as he could. And in the summertime, he would never do it because he was afraid that the weight of the truck might cause problems with the pavement. He didn't want them to have revival or some event, and then people have trouble when they park or whatever. I'd say today that probably is not even a question people ask. Not saying my dad's anything special, but that's just how reverence for the things of God has changed. We wouldn't ride our bicycles around close. My dad wouldn't let us. We'd ride anywhere else in that empty parking lot in the streets. But you get around too close to the church, and somebody's usually stop and ask you, what are you boys doing around here? Oh, you know, you just knew the reverence, again, the parking lot and the area of the church. I don't want to say holy ground, but that's the way you kind of thought about it. That's where you went to worship. That's what Solomon's keeping us in mind here. And let me finish on. I don't have much more to say. But as we look here, it's verse number 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. And as we look, it said, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, that's usually your dream. If you think about it, nights you have dreams, that's when you're busy in your mind anyway, when you lay down and go to sleep. And I think what Solomon's trying to say there is that's really unsubstantial. In other words, it don't amount to anything. That is vanity. People say they have dreams, and it does, and I guess they could, but I don't know. I'm not knocking. People say they've had dreams, and they've learned something from that. I don't know. That's never happened to me. But as we look here, you think about most dreams are it's part of your conscience and puts things together, and they're unsubstantial. In other words, they don't amount to anything. He said, through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. In other words, they both add up to nothing. Nothing at all in this life. Verse number 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, but this is where he gets to what's important. So the dreams that you may follow or that you may rely on or a fool's voice or things you may listen to or hearken to or allow into your mind that we need to keep out, again, they're unsubstantial or unsubstantiated. They don't amount to anything. But the vow, when y'all vows a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. In other words, you look here, said you need to honor God. Don't be quick to make a vow. You need to be serious about our vows if you make it. If you happen to break a vow that you've made, you need to repent as if it was a sin, because it is a sin to make a vow unto God and not pay it. And that's what he's saying here. So all these other things he mentioned above, that is for a dream coming through a multitude of business or busy-minded or has our mind on things we shouldn't. and a fool's voice, or if we listen to a fool's voice, or we follow our own voice, and it's as if it's just a multitude of words that doesn't add up or amount to anything. But when thou vowest a vow to God, Solomon's saying, even in this life, vanity of vanities, you still need to pay it. And if you don't, there'll be a price to pay. He says, better is that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest not vow. That thou shouldest vow and not pay. It's a very serious matter. It's sin, as we've already said. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel or the messenger. In our cases, we come to church on Sundays in front of the preacher, the pastor, or for the church, if you think about that, as far as a voice, as far as the gospel going out. I just thought of that. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? That's a question mark. I said, should not God do that? You've made a vow and you failed to live up to it. And as you read that and you think about it, it says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. In studying that out, I also came across that doesn't necessarily mean that the angel has to shout, but it may be just a word spoken softly that you hear. Then I go back to Elijah's prayer to God, and it seemed like just a short, soft prayer to God that he heard. And I'm sure the others around heard as well, but he didn't have to cry out and yell as those priests of Baal did. But God heard him. And so, not with the loudness of the messenger do we hear, but it's on our end to hear. In other words, I don't think in what Solomon's saying, we can't go back and blame the pastor or the preacher for saying, well, they didn't preach to me what I needed to hear. They weren't loud enough. They should have beat me over the head a little more. In other words, you know how in today's society it's always everybody else's fault. It's not my fault, somebody else's. What Solomon's saying here in this case, as is James said, it falls on the hearer, not the messenger. In other words, pastor doesn't need to preach any louder. Now, sometimes his voice flexes up and down for emphasis, and that's good in any conversation. That's what they're referring to. But it's just when we get to the point at the end of days, end of life, and I think if a person was lost, they can't go back and say, well, they should have preached louder. Why didn't they come drag me to the altar? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working inside of them. It's that still, you know, we think about soft voice, and we may hear, and we think about our heart pounding before you get saved, and that's what Solomon's saying. That's how the Holy Spirit would work, but it's not the responsibility of the messenger to preach louder and louder for you to hear. It's your responsibility to come in ready to hear and ready to obey the things of God. And that's, I think, what Solomon's saying here. Now, again, I'm trying to apply and look at Old Testament and think about us as a New Testament church today and go back over in James and look and read some, but the second time we won't do that. But if you go back and read there in James, I think that's what James is instructing us to do once we're saved, too, to continue in the perfect law of liberty. And that's Solomon saying, to get into that or look into the perfect law of liberty, again, it's not, sometimes you'd be on watching something on television, someone would be giving a speech, and they'll have the microphone set up in front of them, and they have to have the big speakers going, well, I think about a presidential inauguration would be one thing. They have to have the speakers so loud so they can go so far out the crowd can hear way back in the back. And they do that so everyone can hear. But they're not shouting into the microphones. Now, if you were right in front of the speakers, it might be a little loud, I guess. But what they do, they spread those out. That way, the further back you go, you might be able to hear, and it doesn't drown out. You know, we got the technology now to do that. But it's your responsibility to listen and to obey. And then God's responsibility to the messenger to deliver the message for the day, for the hour. And we need to come in, as it says in verse number 1, ready to listen, care for the thoughts of each other and for the future and what may lie ahead in the day, with our mind on the things of God, not on the things of the outside. And that's why I said when I started, I said, now, I'm as guilty as anyone else to let my mind wander and go to something else and not keep it on what we should. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Last verse, verse number 7, and we'll be done. For in the multitude of dreams, here are those dreams again, as we've already said, that they really amount to nothing. For in the multitude of dreams and of many words, there's a warning. You know, Solomon's good about that. You know, you go back and you look in Proverbs, and I've always heard that Proverbs are for daily living. You go back and read those and apply those to your life, and they'll help you get through a day. You know, I tell my students a lot of times, I'll say, now, I might not give you the best advice ever, I said, but hopefully I'll get you enough that you can get through each day at work once you graduate. And I think about Solomon in Proverbs. He gives us enough in Proverbs we can get through each day of life, family life, work life, relationship with individuals or with God himself, and prayer. And gives words of wisdom, I guess I want to say, from Solomon. He gets over in Ecclesiastes, though, and he's gotten to be an older gentleman, older man, more wise. He's lived a lot, seen a lot. For in the multitude of dreams and in many words, in which he's already addressed above, he gives a word of caution here. There are. In other words, it abounds. Divers vanities. If you go back and you look at that, that's Satan, the works of Satan, works of this world, works of the flesh. But fear thou God. So he tells us in verse 7, said, even though I've warned you 1 through 6 when you come into the house of God and worship him, how to keep your mind straight and keep your thoughts right, when it comes down to it, you still have to fight against a multitude of dreams and many words that you'll hear throughout this life and as you live. And he says a lot of it's going to be of Satan, try to distract you and keep you from the things of God. But fear thou God. In other words, no matter what else is going on, fear thou God. Stay true to the Word of God. And I think, again, that's why I went back and read that at the beginning. As you look, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So Solomon knew, and I'm finished, Solomon knew that here's the correct way to come into the house of God and worship. That's what he was telling us as he began. If you're going to make a vow to God, keep it. If you don't keep it, go to God in prayer, because treat it as if it was sin in your life and repent. And as he goes through this, these dreams and words that you hear, a multitude of words, they don't amount to anything. And be cautious, because a lot of those are of the devil, of Satan. But fear thou God. That's all we've got this morning.